are not here just because it's time for a conference.
Amen.
We are here for purpose.
Yes.
So I'm here for purpose. I'm here for discovery. I'm here for rediscovery. We're here for manifestation.
Amen.
I thank God for you. Hold your Bible up. I want to make a statement of our expectation in God. Say, Father, I thank you for your word. Because of it, I am who you said I am.
I have
what you said I have. And I can do what you said I can do. Lord, by your word and through your Holy Spirit, I'm anointed to hear words that bring wisdom, understanding, insight, revelation, and transformation for my spirit, my soul, my body, and my circumstances. In Jesus' name, amen. May be seated. God bless you. The Lord impressed upon my heart when I received an invitation to speak on this opening session here at our conference to address the topic of the conference. I don't know about you, but when I speak at conferences, I deal with the conference theme.
My Lord,
I work with the scripture. I give out what's given to me.
Amen.
Sometimes we preachers preach our favorite messages
right. At
the conference.
That's right.
But we should hear from God and seek
Amen.
To speak into prophetically what the apostle has given as a theme.
Amen.
Our theme is the regenerated generation.
Praise
the Lord. Say, I am part of the
regenerated
generation. Matter of fact, if you have received a card, looks like this. This was sent out to the churches.
Amen.
Remember this?
Amen.
Have you read it?
Amen.
If you read it, raise your hand.
Amen.
Good. Because this purpose statement goes to the heart of why we are here.
Amen.
Listen, y'all, it's time for us to stop having church.
Come on now, sir.
And be the church.
Amen.
Yeah, we come to church to grow, to worship, to celebrate, to magnify God. But we're supposed to come also to tap into the purposes of God and be transformed and used by God to do a work in these last days. You believe this? We're going to speak and teach from this text on this evening. Titus 3. And I want to read this text and give you a subtitle that God's given me to share with you. Titus chapter 3, New King James Version, verse 3. Do you have it? Do you have it? It says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Here it is, verse 4. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, and according to his mercy he saved us with a washing of generation and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Paul, by the Spirit of God, chose to start this chapter with looking back to the former condition of believers. That we were all once, he said, we were all once deceived and foolish, and all these things happened in our life. And then he comes forward and says that we have been saved and washed by regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the conference statement, I want to read to you what Pastor Jerry wrote by the Spirit of God on that card I just showed you. It says this: "There is a generation of believers that God is raising up within the body of Christ that are experiencing a spiritual renovation, which in turn causes this spiritual revolution. Regeneration is a word very much akin to the scriptural phrase born again, a rebirth from above that empowers the believer here on earth. What does it mean to be born again? Is it joining local church? Is it shaking the preacher's hand? Is it responding to the altar call? Is it confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is it preparation to go to heaven? Or is it about living a new life here on earth and experiencing a quality of life that benefits the children of God in the earth. The regenerated generation has replaced the old life with a new life. They have shifted to a new identity and have become a new person in Christ and are capable of doing new, different, and better things. Because they seek God's kingdom, have entered into it here and now in this earthly dimension. Say, I am.
Part of the regenerated generation.
My subtopic for the message is reconnected to purpose, recreated for greatness, renewed in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to make affirmations all night long because God wants to remind us of who we are in Christ. Sometimes when you go through difficulty and challenge, you get distracted from who you are, what God has called you to do. So say this, say, I am reconnected to my purpose. I am recreated for greatness. I am renewed in the Holy Spirit. So Paul gave an overview of redemption from our pitiful past to our purposeful future. And that we were all deceived and crazy and sinful. We understand our past life. But then why would Paul bring up the past? Why would he even go back and remind us of that? Because sometimes to regain perspective of our present blessings, we got to go back and remind ourselves how far God has brought us from. Amen? I brought Pastor Ron up just to remind myself of how awesome God is, what God has done in his brother's body and healing him miraculously. You know, I remember him standing right there teaching us men. Barely standing up, but going forth in the power of God. And so we understand that sometime to get a fresh perspective, you got to start thanking God again from how far he's brought you. In my granddad's church, we sang a song that said, don't forget to remember how good God has been to you.
Hallelujah.
Don't forget to remember. I believe sometimes we seem like we've forgotten because we live like and complain like and fuss like God hasn't blessed us.
Amen.
We got people today trying to get delivered all over again. We got Christians going to the deliverance meeting and leave there and go to the get set free meeting. You follow me?
Amen.
We got people with what I call an empty vessel syndrome. That I don't have enough. Somebody got to fill me up. I want to remind you tonight of what you already have in Jesus Christ. The biggest deception in your life is to look for something you already have. And God wants you to realize that what Jesus Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection, the regeneration, the recreation you experienced was not partial. It was complete. Say this, complete. The Bible says in Colossians that you are complete in Christ Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power. Say, I am not an empty vessel looking for somebody to fill me up, because Jesus has already given me everything I need. That was Colossians 2 and 9. Again, it says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, in Jesus. And you are complete in him. Listen, you're complete in the one who has all the fullness of the Godhead. You are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So any principality and power trying to mess with you has already been put under subjection in Jesus' name.
Amen.
But why do we see problems? If it's true, we're complete, why do I experience trouble? Well, that's the whole topic tonight. Why are we experiencing lack and things? If God has done it for us, why are we experiencing trouble? Well, we'll answer that question for you. Now, as the purpose statement said, that Pastor Jerry wrote, that we have shifted to a new identity and I become a new person in Christ. I have shifted. Say, I have shifted to a new identity. I'm already a new person.
A new in Christ.
Let's go to Jeremiah 48. Let's look a little more at where we were and gain an appreciation for where we are. Because the word regenerate, it literally means a recreation. It's a recreation. It's a Bible word, means recreation. And everything that Jesus did to recreate us, he didn't halfway do it. It wasn't 80% complete. He did 100% transformation in our spirit. You believe this?
Amen.
Well, in it's kind of funny, but here in Jeremiah 48, let me give you a picture of the problem we have. Our problem is really more a problem of perception. We don't really have a problem with possessing or a problem with provision. We got a problem with perception. Now, looking back to Jeremiah 48, we're going to use this person Moab as a parable. Now, Moab was a man. He was, in fact, the incestuous child of Lot, one of his daughters. Moab represents a lack of perspective. Moab represents the problem we face when not seeing who we really are in Christ. Now, the Bible says here in Jeremiah 48, let's pick up here at verse 11. It says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him, and his scent has not changed. Verse 12. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over, empty his vessels, and break the bottles. What does this mean? Well, first of all, he's talking about the process of how wine was made back in that day. When he says that Moab has been at ease, then he said he has settled on his dregs. Dregs are what lie at the bottom after grapes are crushed. You have the juice, you have the sediments, the skins, and what goes to the bottom is called the dregs. Now, the dregs, actually, for a purpose, the dregs help to flavor the wine. But the thing is, the point was, you would crush the grapes, create the juice, and then pour the juice off into a new vessel. So the dregs served a purpose to flavor it, but if the wine remained too long in that same, on top of those dregs, it would spoil.
Amen.
It would ruin the taste. Now, God through the prophet is telling us something here. That Moab had a problem that sometimes we have in our thinking.
Come on,
man. Let me stress to you that you don't have a problem in your spirit if you're born again. All your problems are in your mind somewhere. In your emotions somewhere. Somebody around you could be a problem. The devil could be a problem. But in your spirit, you are complete. So I am complete in Christ. Come on, shout it out. Say it. Shout. I am complete in Christ Jesus. We'll keep coming back to that. That's a very important point. Because this empty vessel syndrome that Christians have has made them latch on to stuff that's hurt them. And not helped them. Amen. So it says here that he has been at ease from his youth. That's called complacency. Just not taking care of his business. And he has settled on the dregs. So then, rather than being emptied from vessel to vessel, he says that his taste has remained in him and his scent has not changed, meaning that he has not made any progress. He has stuck in the same place you saw him last week, last month, last year. And while the dregs did serve a purpose to flavor the wine, if the dregs stay too long with the wine, it will spoil the wine.
Yeah.
What's the solution here? Well, it says, verse 12, the days are coming that I will send him wine workers. Every pastor and minister, please stand up. Pastor, minister, ministry gift, stand up, please. All the preachers, amen. Behold the wine workers. You are a wine worker. Have a seat. What do wine workers do? He says, I will send wine workers to tip him over and empty the vessels and break the bottles. Listen, if we do not empty ourselves and follow God's process for maturity and growth, if we get stuck in just one area and one way of thinking and don't proceed to learn more and grow more, if we don't take the initiative to empty ourselves out to become better, fresher, you follow me? Then God has to send somebody to tip us over. I am tonight, tipping some folk over tonight. In that, challenging your thinking, challenging you to come up to a higher level of what Christ has already done in you.
Amen.
Usain Bolt is the fastest man in the world. Runner from, is it Jamaica, I believe? Now listen, when Usain Bolt was born, before he could walk or crawl or do anything, he already had in his DNA the potential to be the fastest man in the world. Your DNA, what you were born with, you have everything in you already to describe who you would be physically. You follow me? But how many know that even Usain Bolt could not become the fastest man without development?
That's right.
Without somebody believing in him.
That's right.
And him believing in himself. What God does is this. He sends these wine workers, ministers, pastors, apostles, bishops. He sends those of us who preach and teach God's word to speak to you and remind you of who you are in Christ. Now go back to our text, please, in Titus. Look what he said here. In verse 3 again. Latter, a middle part says, by his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at these words here. Because he's telling us how he saved us and what he put inside of us on the day we came to Christ. He said the washing of regeneration. Say washing.
Washing.
That word washing, look it up. It literally means deep cleaning.
Yes.
Say deep cleaning.
Deep cleaning.
Now, you know, when God saved us, he did not dust us off, spray Windex, and wipe us down. God went deep. Regeneration is the deepest cleaning of all because he changed your spirit.
Yes.
Gave you a new spirit, a new heart. Isn't that true?
Yes.
So it's a washing of regeneration.
Yes.
Now, we clean. My wife is a great cleaner of the house. She cleans. But when I go in, I do deep cleaning. I'm the guy that pulls the stove out.
All right now. Come on. That's me too,
pull the stove out. I'm all up in the cracks and crevices of things, and I see one thing, I see two things, and three things, and go kind of crazy and scrubbing. My point is, deep cleaning is a whole other level than just, you know. So what God did for you, when you became a Christian, he did a deep cleaning. He didn't miss anything. He radically transformed us.
Yes.
Called us new creation. Old things are passed away, right? What else? All things became new. So he had to clean us deeply to get out the old stuff. And hear me, he got it all out.
He got it out, though. Yeah.
Now, you don't believe that.
Come on up.
I don't think. Now, see, the way we live like God didn't do what he said he did. The empty vessel syndrome thinking makes us think that we're missing something.
Amen.
We wind up in meetings and reading books and folk prophesying to you like you don't have nothing from Jesus. Like, you know, you got to have half wisdom and you're not, you know, you barely heal. I mean, listen, everything that Jesus died, buried, and rose to give you, you have it.
Yes.
See, I have it.
I have it.
But why do I see it?
Amen. Say that.
Look at Hebrews. chapter 2. I mean, you know, we come up in the faith, and when we were first born again, the excitement we had was strong. The zeal was great, and we would hear promises like, you shall receive power.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost comes upon you. Yes, I want power. We would read stuff and hear things like, go into all the world, make disciples. Mm-hmm. We were gung-ho, got tracks, went to the street corner. Remember that street corners? We would read things like, God will supply all your needs. Mm-hmm. We would read that and be excited. We'd even read scriptures like, for by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. When you lose perspective, you're like, leap over a wall? I can't get the church folk to come on time. It looked like these promises become stale when you lose perspective. Hebrews chapter 2 says this. Hebrews writer recognized it. Says, verse 8, for in that he put all things in subjection under him. That is, God put all things under mankind. Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Gave him to be the ruler of the world as it was then. He left nothing that is not put under him. But watch this. But we do not yet see all things under him. Now wait a minute. What does this mean here? What does it mean that God said he put all things under us as human, as humankind?
Yeah.
But we don't see all things.
That's right. Come on, man.
There's the problem. God has already done what he said he would do.
Yes.
But we don't see it.
Yes, sir.
He says, but we see Jesus.
All right.
Now the thing is, because we live in a world full of distractions and challenges, I mean, the thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, destroy. We get beat down on so much until we lose perspective. We almost lose heart.
Amen. Amen.
When life really gets hard and challenging, you can despair of life. But what happens worse is your faith becomes weakened.
Amen.
And you don't see anymore what God said about you.
That's
right. So then promises like, I can do all things through Christ. Like, yeah, right. I can't even hardly get a job. So we find ourselves actually complaining against the scripture.
Amen.
But the problem is, we don't see it. God said it, we don't see it. But here's the answer. We see Jesus.
All right, then.
See, I see Jesus.
I see Jesus.
We need to recognize that the regenerated generation is not receiving a new regeneration.
Uh-huh.
Hear me. We are not being born again. God is opening our eyes, unstopping our ears to see who Jesus is in our lives.
Yes.
Say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
We have, I believe, gotten away from that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I've actually heard sermons, a whole message, and nobody even mentioned Jesus.
Come on,
or referred to him.
Come on.
I mean, we get to a point where, well, is God Lord? There's nothing wrong with this. I'm saying, but at some point, it's all about Jesus because he's the one that paid the price.
That's right.
He's the one that took all of our sins, our sicknesses,
yes,
our miseries.
Yes.
He's the one that took it all to the grave.
Yes.
And rose victorious. I can say, I got the keys of heaven and earth.
Yes.
And I'll give them to you.
Yes.
Talking about that Jesus, right? That Jesus.
That's
the one who saved us.
So then
God then says, we are recreated. We are regenerated. But we don't see things. Well, we can see Jesus. When
yes.
we see Jesus, I can see my way into the purposes of God.
That's right.
You okay with that?
Yes.
We have to focus and refocus on kingdom realities in a fresh way. Because, listen, the regenerated generation is having a fresh discovery or a rediscovery of what we already have.
That's right.
Not trying to get what we already have.
Amen.
I've already got peace. Listen, y'all, you don't have any confusion at all. There's no confusion in you, in your spirit. Yes, your mind gets confused.
Amen.
Yes. But there's no confusion in your spirit.
That's right.
Listen, y'all, what God did for us was not partial but complete.
Come on.
And so I'm telling you that let's reconnect with the regeneration, the washing, the deep cleaning, the recreation that we already are, and discover what God did.
Amen.
The purpose for teaching and preaching is to learn who you are.
Right.
Someone had to train Usain Bolt. Someone had to train him to recognize he had the physical attributes to be a great sprinter, but he had to have a coach.
That's right.
Who understood sprinting.
Yes.
Who knew how to develop that kind of talent.
Mm-hmm.
We had the wine workers to help us understand you've got to empty yourself out of what you think you know.
That's right.
Even when you listen, y'all, even when you find something out, you learn from God something, then empty it out because God has more for you.
That's right.
Don't become content. Don't become complacent. Don't be at ease. Amen?
Amen.
So Moab was at ease. He was not focused on the process by which he could become a better person. Again, Moab as the movement, as a parable of all of us.
Yes.
So the emptying out, we do voluntarily. We do that when we admit to our lack of understanding. We do that when we take, for example, people say stuff like, the Bible says the race is not given to the strong or the swift. What does it say? He that endures to the end?
Yeah.
It doesn't say that.
It's not in there.
It's not in that. I'm going to show you, Pastor. Show me. What you're going to show me is a piece of scripture here,
yes,
and a piece over there.
Yes.
The Bible says, Judas hanged himself, go thou and do likewise. Didn't say it in the same place.
That's right.
Empty yourself out of these notions.
Yes.
I need deliverance, Pastor. I got a demon. You got a demon for what? Best answer I ever heard to that. Can a Christian have a demon? One preacher said, Kenneth Hagin said this, a Christian can have whatever he wants. You should not have a demon. Unless you want one. See, because sometimes our sense of need makes us feel important. Everybody praying for you. Oh, Lord, help him deliver her. See, you got to get past this empty vessel mindset of feeling needy and living your life based on your need. Jesus has made you complete in him. When the devil shows up, tell them to go somewhere and sit down. When Jesus dealt with demons, he said, shut up and come out. In ungodly people. Christians have the Holy Ghost. So I have the Holy Ghost. Our demon will mess with your mind. But your mind is not your spirit. You can actually believe in your heart and doubt in your head. But not for long. See, we have to empty out all of these notions.
Yes.
All these false notions. That I need more. As if Jesus didn't do enough for you.
Come on.
You all right?
Yes.
Oh, I need more teaching.
Yes.
To know what I have in Christ. But I don't need more of Jesus.
Amen.
I don't need more of a new birth.
That's right.
I'm as much as a new creation as I can be. Well, we as the regenerated generation are coming to grips with these realities. We are rediscovering who we are in Christ. We don't, listen, y'all, we have a great commission, not a great complacency. We've been given a charge to do something, do a work for God. And one of the best ways to focus yourself and help yourself is to serve. When you serve God and serve others, you give God an opportunity to help you find out who you are, what you have in Christ. There are sheep diseases I read about years ago. Sheep diseases. And one of the sheep diseases is something called foot rot. Foot rot comes when sheep stand in too much water.
All right now.
Sometimes Christians got spiritual foot rot.
Come on now.
We are standing in all this word and doing nothing with it.
All right now.
We haven't won a soul to Christ, and we can't even remember how long it was. We asked someone to be saved. We haven't prayed for somebody to be healed, and who knows when. See, we don't pray for folk. We don't witness to people. We don't go to prisons and jails and mission field because We have bought the lie that I have enough. I'm fine. I'm good. But that's being at ease.
That's right. Yeah.
God says, I want you to empty yourself out. And if you won't, say, Pastor Brian Hudson will tip me over. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I get to preach and leave in 3 days. You know what I'm saying? I make you mad and let Bishop deal with it. No. Truthfully, I love you, saints. We're going to have to get ourselves back to the reality of who we are in Christ and what we already have in Christ. And make no excuses and blame nobody. Let's take responsibility for who we are. We are regenerated. We are recreated. We have already been deep cleaned.
Yeah.
Everything God sent Christ to do, Christ has done it.
Amen.
Now shift your identity away from being woe is me and I'm all messed up to being that I'm a victorious child of God.
Yes,
I got challenges.
Yes.
But all my challenges amount to distractions to what God has done for me.
That's good, brother.
I listened to a podcast by Bishop Jakes a couple of days ago. And the timing was good because I heard the podcast as I was preparing this message. And Bishop Jakes said something that I thought was remarkable. He said, do not focus on your position. Focus on your mission.
Yes.
Some people have become drunk on their position and have lost perspective. If you focus on position, you'll always lose perspective. He said, all your blessings and resources have come because of your mission, not your position. Think about that. It makes sense because when you are doing mission, you're connected to what Jesus has done inside of you. You're only working out and bearing the fruit of what God called you to do.
Yes.
If people seek position only, they become ego driven.
Yes.
Now, my name is not Pastor Brian Hudson.
All right.
My name is Brian Hudson.
Yes.
I am a prophet. I don't make you call me Prophet Brian Hudson. That's not my name. My name is Brian Hudson.
Amen.
My mission is to teach God's word, to save lives, make a difference in my generation.
Amen.
Now my position follows my mission.
Amen.
We oftentimes say things out of a sense of position and a sense of not knowing who we are in Christ. I have a few rich friends, very few. But none of my rich friends really act like they're rich. The folk who act like they're rich are actually mostly broke. It's them broke folk, all that bling going on, you know what I'm saying? But folk who really have it, just have it. If you focus on your mission, God will supply everything that you need. Because God is going to fund his work.
Yes.
He won't fund your position. He'll fund the mission.
That's right.
Again, we are the recreated, we are the regenerated generation. These are realities of what it means to be regenerated in our time, in the purposes of God. So we don't have a provision problem. We have a perspective problem.
Mm.
We don't have a position issue. We have a mission issue.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to learn how to focus and get our focus back on who we are in Christ.
Yes.
What Christ has done for us.
Yes.
Go back into the scripture and rediscover what God says about us as individuals, as his church. Reconnect to all the things that makes us complete in Christ. Thank God, as the statement said from Pastor Jerry, we have shifted our identity. We don't see ourselves, even as Christians, God is helping us to elevate our thinking. For being this, we're not just churchgoers. We are world changers.
Yes.
Amen? We're not just trying to get a breakthrough, man. We are offering breakthrough to other people.
That's right.
Everything that you say you need, if you begin to give that to others, you'll find a ready supply for yourself.
Yes.
He gives seed to the sower.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Bishop mentioned I've done some giving. I've done some things for people. And I don't, you know, I've done a few things and that you're aware of. But the thing I learned it. He gives seed to the sower. Because sowing is the mission. And the position of being seen to give is not what makes us blessed. Amen. Let me give you some thoughts about how we can be the manifested regenerated generation. In our professions, whether you are a doctor, nurse, preacher, teacher, artist, designer, there is something called best practices. You understand that? Every field. Pastor Jerry has a law degree. There are best practices. And best practices define our purpose. That is, people who are who they say they are operate a certain way. Now, but even people who know best practice sometimes violate that or don't go according to that. When they deviate from best practice, we call it malpractice.
Yes.
Malpractice is deviating from the best practice, right?
Yes.
So if we as Christians are going around complaining and about what we don't have and trying to get delivered all the time and all this, listen, y'all, that is not our best practice. Our best practice is I'm complete in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
I say thank you, Lord. I praise in everything, give thanks.
Yes.
In everything. Not for, but in it, I give thanks in everything.
Yes. Everything.
My best practice is no matter how dark and difficult it might look, I want to trust God. The song we sang earlier,
yes.
I got no choice but to trust God.
Trust him.
That's best practice.
Yes.
Because in fact, you do have a choice.
Yes.
You can choose not to trust God.
That's right.
But once you've cleared your heart and been emptied out, then your choice has narrowed to one.
Yes.
My trust, I want to trust God. My wife and I raised 4 children. They're wonderful children. They're all saved. They're all successful. They are out of my pocket. Out of my pocket. Got their own homes and jobs and cars and wives and all this. We traded that way. But here's the thing. When they were disobedient as children, you know, I believe in spanking. You know, we dealt with that. But listen, but one option, we can spank, we can talk to them, we can, you know, help understand, teach them the right way, or just knock them out and kill them. But killing is not an option.
That's right.
Knocking them out, not an option.
That's an option.
My wife and I had difficulties in marriage. 37 years married. Praise God. Amen. We had some challenges. But one option was not, you know, I'm out of here. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Listen, one option was not to separate, divorce. My point is, when you are the recreated and regenerated generation, you narrow the option.
Yes.
I'm going to trust Jesus.
Trust Jesus.
Need to have the perspective that says, Lord, I don't have any other choice. I remove other choices. I've decided I'm going to trust you.
That's right.
Amen.
So 5 points. First is this. How do we manifest the life of a regenerated generation? First of all, is let's recognize that Jesus is the solution. He's already inside of us. Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
I can do all things through Christ.
Yes.
Jesus is the one who saved me, who has anointed me, who has partnered with me, called me an heir. So Jesus is the one I must relate to. The Bible says in Titus chapter 3, again he says, we have been washed by regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus, our Savior.
Yes.
Having been justified by his grace, that we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So then, let's renew our relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's in your life. Give him the honor due his name.
Yes.
Give him the time to reconnect with you, to show you what he's done in you. He has already given us the grace to become heirs. Heirs are those who share the inheritance.
Yeah.
Everything God made available through Christ, he offers it to us.
To us.
You already have it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, empty yourself or be tipped over. Empty yourself of yourself.
Yeah.
When you stop, let's stop believing things the Bible doesn't teach.
Yeah.
Let's stop going back to these old phrases and old behaviors, and let's just stop giving folk a piece of our minds. Don't give nobody a piece of your mind. Keep that peace of mind you got. Bible says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Some of us should go back and listen again to the pastor's CDs. Pastors, we missed church, we missed the message, as if the message I missed wasn't important to me. These words that our pastors give us are a part of the discovery and rediscovery and manifestation of the regenerated generation. We have to separate ourselves. Listen, when you empty out, you separate from something you don't need. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Watch this, verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of living God. Who are you?
The temple of the living God. Yes.
As God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. Now listen, he wasn't telling us that we are holier than thou. He's saying this because you have to empty yourself out and separate from things that distract you.
Yeah.
Say this, I must separate myself
from distractions.
You're not saying just don't be around people who are not saved. No. Don't let unsaved people distract you. Hey, don't let Christians distract you. That's the sense of separation, not I'm holier than thou. Number three, receive God's wine workers in your life. Again, those whom God has sent to teach you, sometimes tip you over, to say, to challenge your assumptions, to challenge the things you have said that really don't line up with God's word, to help you embrace who you already are in Christ, to break out of the mode of trying to perform to make God love you. You know, God loves you because you're you. We don't perform for God to love us more. We perform to serve God's purpose in our generation. That's all. We're already saved and favored by God. So the wine workers are those who tip us over. I have a friend of mine in Dayton, Ohio. I called him years ago and said, man, look, I began to complain. I called him and began to complain about things. Just complaining. Venting. He said, Brian, change your heart.
Yeah.
I think, man, hold on, you're missing. This is a pity party I'm starting up here. You got to get in on my pity party. I'm telling you how pitiful I am.
Right,
he's supposed to come back and say, yeah, Brian. No, he said, Brian, change your heart. Stop talking like that.
Yeah.
Whew. He tipped me right over. He tipped me over. And I thought, you know what? He's right. He's my friend. My friend wasn't trying to hurt me. He was saying the truth. My mind, I caught him in a bad frame of mind. So this is what our wine workers and pastors, elders, bishops, apostles are there to encourage us, but also sometimes to rebuke us. Reproofs of correction are the way of life.
Yes.
And that corrections aren't always something from some really bad, sinful thing we've done. We're just this much off of this purpose of God enough to take ourselves far off if we keep going that direction. So sometimes the minor adjustments we receive are just enough to keep us in the purposes of God.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Number four. The fourth way that we allow God to help us manifest the regenerated generation is make sure you're standing on and building on a firm foundation. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The Bible says, yet the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and set you on a firm foundation. The higher the building, the deeper the foundation. The more of God you say you want in your life, the more foundation you already have. I'm not saying go find a foundation. I'm saying you already have it. Go stand on the foundation you already have. Amen? Bible says that Jesus Christ is our foundation. Paul said that you know, take heed how you build. But he says, no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? So the new birth then was not some change of mindset. The new birth was in fact a recreation. It was a regeneration renewal that put us in a place where we can stand and we can grow. Just don't be distracted from that place. Number five, the fifth way we're going to manifest the regenerated generation is this. Affirm what you have and who you are by serving others. What you freely give, you will freely receive.
That's right.
So what you have received from God, give it out. Yeah. The Bible says in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and make disciples. We're commissioned to go make disciples and to baptize them. So when we go out, go forth doing God's will, what we're doing is we're living out the purpose for which God saved us. And the more you serve God and serve God's purpose, the more in touch you become with who you are in Christ. The less distractions can trouble you when you know who you are. Amen? When you're serving God's purpose, and you've got mission on your mind, position take care of itself. And finally, let me give you, to go back to Titus 3 once again, because this text is so powerful. It is so purposeful. This whole conference is based on this text. And listen to it again from verse 5. It says, but according to God's mercy, he saved us through the washing, the deep cleaning of regeneration or recreation, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us, past tense, abundantly through Christ Jesus. Having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Say, I've got it.
I've got it.
See, I am
who God said I
am. I have what God said I have.
I won't be distracted.
I will maintain perspective.
I will enter into
everything God's already provided for me. I'm not an empty vessel. I am complete in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Hallelujah.
Y'all believe that? Give God some praise. Go ahead and stand up and give God some praise.